Today on The Grave Talks, we continue our conversation about a paranormal investigator's journey with Andy Rowe. Have you ever gone to a location and been bothered to the point where it's like, I have to leave? I hate to do this to you guys, but this is not good energy for me. And because I really pick up on energy.
Yeah.
And even with people, there's people I don't really want to be around because this is not a good feeling for me. Yeah. But I'm polite. But when you're in a paranormal investigation situation, that would be a really scary feeling.
Yeah, I've always, like, we have had people on the team in the past and one with us now that's kind of more like they can deal with the more heavier stuff that I myself don't want to put myself in that position. And I've always told myself that if I felt threatened or if I felt like I couldn't be there, then I would bow out. I would be like, I'm sorry. I'll go wait in the car. I'll go wait across the street. You know, you need me or something happens, I'm here. Let me know. But so far, thankfully, after, oh my gosh, 10, 12 years of doing this, that I really haven't had that any moment like that. There was one place our team did team only downtown at a place that one of our teammates' family owns. And I'd gotten to investigate there 3 times and I was kind of, we did our 100th podcast episode there where we went.
Oh, mention the name of your podcast.
Cryptic Heartland on YouTube. If you look up Cryptic Heartland, that was our podcast. We kind of, with COVID, we didn't get together and do the podcast as often. But then 2021 into 2022, we started doing it periodically. But then everybody's schedules, we haven't done it in a while, but we do have lots of episodes on YouTube under Cryptic Heartland.
Okay.
The 100th episode, it was really the 150th, but because of where it landed with COVID for the 100th, like most of us, there was 4 or 5 of us that went and set up equipment, cameras and stuff on a Friday. And then Saturday evening, the whole team came. We did the first hour as the podcast where they could see all of us as a team. And then we broke off into groups. And like one group, Roth and I were upstairs doing a session while other people were, we were all in different, like 2 or 3 of us all in different areas of the building to where we were making sure that we weren't talking over anybody else or if somebody thought they were getting something and we weren't making it seem like, okay, they're hearing us, but they're thinking it was spirits.
Which you really have to watch for when you're doing a paranormal investigation.
Yeah.
Because if your team's too big and you're hearing whispering, it could be your teammates.
Yeah. That's why we try to be calm.
Could be paranormal, but yeah, you really got to watch that.
And that's why we like keep our recorders that we do EVPs with. The recorders can pick up so much that our ears can't. Like me, I've had a lot of ear trouble my whole life that I don't hear as good as most people. So a lot of the team will hear something before I do. And that's why I love having a recorder because it's going to pick up stuff. Like 3 of us, we're doing a private home one night, and if I didn't have my recorder in my hand, because none of us, I'd asked, we're standing in the hallway, and I said, are you an adult or a child? And had I not had my recorder on, I had this British voice saying, a child. And the three, like all 3 of us couldn't hear that with their own ears.
But you picked it up.
We picked it up on the recorder. So it's like, and sometimes that's all you need for an investigation is just the basic stuff like K2, to check the temperature frequencies in different areas. A recorder is a really good thing to have because that's going to catch so much that you probably won't hear. And when I started out doing this, I didn't know what to listen for. I mean, mm-hmm. I've gotten better with that, but even now recorders pick up. I mean, I'm kind of in tune with things now, but a recorder picks up so much. There's different apps you can have on your phone. I mean, there's all different kind of equipment. like take pictures. We always tell our guests on investigations to take pictures. Don't take just one.
Yeah.
Take two or three, because you might not get anything on the first or second picture, but there's sometimes you don't get anything in the pictures. But there's times that you may not get anything on the first and second, the third one, or you get nothing on the first and third, but the second one, there's something. So that I'm like a big on taking pictures, whether on a camera from your phone or a regular camera. I know the Portal app is a really good app to have. It's really weird when you first get it. It's not geared for iPhones. So if you have an Android.
Oh, look at me. Finally, an Android paying off. Everybody teases me about having an Android.
The Portal is like, it's kind of like the Spirit Box 7 that you turn on and you get the white noise, like the radio white noise. Mm-hmm. We get a lot of conversations through the Spirit Box, but I am an iPhone user. I've had Androids in the past. That's what I miss about having an Android, is being able to use the Portal, but we got people on our team that have it.
Right.
But it's like when you first use it, it's kind of German sounding and it sounds like they're talking backwards. But the more you use it, the more you really get used to it. You know exactly what they're saying. You're getting answers. Every place that I've been that we've used it, we've had a lot of good things. And it's better. Like there's some apps out there that just are not good. I mean, I had one downloaded and most of the time it was just spitting out words that could correlate, but you didn't know for sure.
Yeah. And that app is pretty common and it'll say demon or something. Then, oh my God, there's a demon here. You know, there might not be anything there. Your phone just told you that there's a demon. So I think some of those apps you really do have to watch out for.
Yeah, because they
could skew your investigation.
Yeah, I had the Ghost Talker, Light on my iPhone. And I used it at home and the work, different offices, just trying to see how it would work. And I mean, most of it, I would ask questions like I do on an investigation. There's no right, wrong answer. You just ask questions, see what you can get. And most of it was just spitting out all these words that nothing correlated with anything I asked. And then like our team went on a helm investigation in El Dorado, Kansas. And I knew nothing going into that investigation. That first went in, the homeowner and I clicked, like we're really good friends. She's had me out day the night over there investigating with her and her family. Like her family is awesome. And then like her name's Stacy. And then one of my best friend's name is Stacy. And like, but I've had both Stacys, like we're all investigating out there. And like, it's just fun. Like the last time both Stacy from Derby, Kansas and I went out to Stacy's in El Dorado, we're out on her porch. And I mean, they had stuff happen inside. They've had stuff outside happen. And they live kind of in a wooded area, not far from El Dorado Lake. And I had that app up on my phone, the Ghost Talker Light. And that was like the first time I went and stayed at Stacy's house, and it was just her and I. I got there early. We went out to eat. We came back. And on the way back to the house, she had told me that her parents had four kids and that two of her siblings had died. And then she just kind of quit talking. And I thought to myself, don't ask any questions because let's see what happens. The less I knew and the more that happened or what we could get through any app or any equipment, you know, the less I knew, the better.
Right.
And so like we started downstairs in the office that night after sitting out in the patio talking a little bit. We started down in the office and I had that app and my phone sitting on the bed in the office. The first thing, and I had never had anybody's name pop up on that app up to that point. And the first thing that came up was the name Janet. And Stacy had just turned around at that point and I had my volume up because it would, if the volume was down, you had to look at the screen. And you have to have the phone setting in one spot, like not moving, because it'll just spit out a bunch of words if it's moving. but it's on the bed. No, we weren't around it. Stacy just turned around and I had the volume up. It said Janet. She turns, she's like stops in her tracks and she gasps. She's like, what did it say? And I said, Janet. And she's like, that's my sister.
Wow. I knew that's where you were going. And I had goosebumps like a minute ago.
I'm getting them like right now, just even reliving that moment in my mind. Like, it was their sister that passed away. She had a sister and brother that passed away. And then there was like something else that was said that like correlated to her family, that like there's things that I know about the family now and related to somebody very famous. And it said one of the words that like correlated with things that, and then when that my friend, best friend Stacy and I went out to Stacy's, it was like a year ago, October, and we did a lot outside in the woods and stuff nearby in the house. But we were standing on the porch and it was a wraparound porch, and it was like all of a sudden it sounded like footsteps like running at us, that we ran down the steps because it was like it was just us three there at that point. And then we all like we couldn't make sense. There was nobody else around. There was like the flower beds had all the roses like high, like I'm 5'5" and some of those were taller than me. And so we're looking in the flower bed, but even those bushes and stuff were so full that nobody could have been running through those.
Oh my God, no, they'd end up injured.
Yeah. And so then we get back up on the porch and we're all talking about it, like, because we're just like, oh my goodness. And then all of a sudden we get quiet because it, you know, those hand saws that you have to rub against like whatever wood you're trying to saw. It sounded like one of those on one of the square pillars holding the wood up. It sounded like one of those just sawing, like somebody just sawing really fast. And we just stop and we're all looking at each other and we're like, okay, is that what are you hearing? Like, and we're all hearing it and we're all looking at each other. Then it just stops and we're looking around. There's like no like piece of wood anywhere, like nothing. It's just there happening, gone.
What do you think is going on at her house? Do you think, because I could see her brother and sister being around, but I don't think it's them who would be sawing and running through rose bushes.
Yeah.
Like, it sounds like something maybe happened on the land where the house was built.
Yeah, they, like, right before Stacy and I had went to Stacy's house.
So many Stacys.
Yeah. Like, both my Stacys. Like before Stacy and I went back the last time, there's like a bunch of wooded area through there. And I got a really heavy feeling when Jason and I had went over into that area the first time we went. And the homeowner, Stacy, never been out there until that night. Both Stacy's and I went out there because she got the confidence with us there, you know, and having the equipment. I guess Evergy, like the
local, Evergy is the local electrical company here.
Yeah, they had went out and cut down a bunch of trees. And I guess that's one thing that prompted originally when we went there in March of 2020, right before everything got shut down with COVID, with that we had like 4 or 5 weeks of straight private investigations. And that was the one of the last ones that we had set up before everything got shut down because of COVID. And they had things happening outside. Like she had just gotten home, like her daughter and a grandkid at that point was living there. Her husband was overseas with the military and her 80 something year old mom lived there as well. And her daughter saw her pull up and she usually pulls in the garage and comes in through the kitchen door from the garage. But then all of a sudden her daughter thought she saw her mom there right in front of the window at the door. But then she realized it wasn't Stacy. It was some blonde haired woman and she was screaming, crying. Stacy didn't hear this, but her daughter heard and seen it. And I guess that wasn't the only time. And they've seen full body. They've seen like a man with a hat walking around that she thought would maybe was her dad. They were seeing like a child running around, but they could only see from the waist down.
Yeah, I always find that weird when I hear about those stories. They just see legs or they see the upper part. Like it's like a floating torso or something, you know. It's just strange when it's only half of a body that you're seeing. Yeah. But I've heard that quite a few times.
And I hadn't really ever like thought of that because by that point, I hadn't really seen half or what I thought would be half. They saw the legs and red shorts. And she kept finding water, like spots on the floor. She thought the grandkids had maybe spilled a drink or something. And, you know, not knowing. So she reached out to Road Trip Paranormal on Facebook. Roth on our team just happened to be the one to get in contact with her. Come to find out they went to high school together. And so it was just kind of like, so then we set a date and went out there and we got there. We did our like start setting up our baselines. We went over into a part of the woods and just immediately like Roth, Jason and I stepped into that portion of that field and it was just instant heavy feeling like something did not want me there. And I told Jay, I look at Jason, I'm like, are you feeling what I'm feeling? He's like, oh yeah. And he's like, this is not a very good feeling. Cause we go off not only sight, sound, hearing, you use all our senses and you being an empath too, you learn your gut instincts and what your body's telling you. And so we walked a ways in there, but then decided, okay, we're going to go back to the house. I mean, we hadn't officially started investigating yet, but like we go in, like everybody else gets there. We start investigating. We'll investigate 45 minutes to an hour, take a little break, kind of like regroup, like calm down, whatever, see what everybody else is getting because we're kind of scattered in different areas. And like one point the four of us on the team decided to go out back to the woods where three of us had been there, but not Jake.
That like gives me the chills because it's dark.
Yes. We had our flashlights, but it was, I guess being doing this long enough, like that's what the part like scared me thinking about it years ago. But now that I've done it, like I may feel like, oh, I don't know about this, but I still do it. Like
I'd be like, I think I need a TV break.
Yeah.
I think I would like to watch a little Golden Girls right now, if y'all don't mind.
Yeah, like that's where you like have to kind of learn if you do this, what you're comfortable with and what you're willing to
do.
And if you don't feel comfortable with it, don't put yourself in that position.
Agreed. That's good advice.
Yeah. Like that's my biggest thing. And so far I haven't done it. If I'll let myself start doing it. And then if I felt like, okay, this isn't for me, if I felt like, okay, I couldn't do this, I can't handle this, I would have been like, I'll meet you back at the house.
Right. But you didn't. You went.
I went. I knew I was with three men from my team. I knew that they had my back like I had their back. And we really didn't get anything out there in the field. But as soon as we turned around and started heading back, they had like one of those big wooden poles with a light on top, kind of like what you see going down the highway type of light at the end of the driveway. And as soon as we turn around, three of us saw a man, the silhouette of a man. And it wasn't a living person. It was a spirit. And it was just it was standing up against that pole watching us. And we all, like three of us that saw it, stopped in our tracks. And Jake was the first thing. He's like, whoa, did you see that? And like, we're all like, oh my goodness.
Wow.
And so we just stood there frozen looking. And then it just calmly, it turned around and it starts walking towards the house. So we started walking.
Towards the house or away from the house?
Towards the house. Because Stacy and her friend that she had there with her that night chose to stay in the house, which that was fine. And that spirit walked up the porch, walked through the front door.
through the front door.
Through the front door.
Not in the front door. Through
it. Nope. They would have had to open the screen door and then
you'd have seen the light from the house come. If that door had been properly open, yeah, you'd have seen.
Yeah, that we would have seen something. And like with the, if the door was propped open and we knew we shut it and they didn't, Stacy and Gretchen didn't open it. It walked straight through the screen door, the glass screen door. And then,
wow.
Yeah.
Now, how do you give any sort of comfort to your friend Stacy? Because I think any information you would give her like that, for example, would be kind of terrifying.
Yeah, like.
So are you able to help her live there more peacefully?
Yeah, like especially she joked around with me that night, like, you ain't leaving. Like her friend Gretchen wasn't able to stay the night, so it was just going to be her there. And she was joking because I rode with Roth out there and then the other like two came out on their own. And Stacy kept joking, like, you're staying the night. You're not doing this investigation and leaving me here alone.
No, no.
Which, I mean, I understood. And that was, like, wasn't my first home investigation, but, like, we just really hit it off, like, became really good friends. And I felt bad leaving that night. She's like, please stay. And I'm like, well, I'll stay if you give me a ride. But, I mean, we were joking, you know, but then she had me back to stay. But, like, we get in the house that night and one of the guys told her, did you see anything while we were outside? She's like, no. And so then one of them told her what we saw and then it walked straight through and it freaked her out. I mean, rightfully so.
Right. If you told me that right now, Carol, I came in your house, but before I walked, I parked in your driveway, but then a man walked in before I walked in, I would be freaking out.
Yeah. And then she was like, okay, you guys aren't leaving. You're all staying. Like,
everybody.
And like, as the night went on after that point, like we knew that she was seeing the little boy and she'd already talked to Lena that we work with. That's the psychic that I was talking about earlier. And Lena had told her some information about the spirits that were around there and that the little boy had drowned. That he was 7 or 8 years old and that he drowned. She didn't know from where. That just like broke my heart. And I didn't know that until after we'd gotten there that evening. And we always do what we call a Frank's box session, where if we wear like one person wears noise canceling headphones. And then they have like a spirit box. SB7.
So like the Estes method?
Yeah, the Estes method. That's the original name for it.
Okay.
And they have like.
And the, so the person with the headphones on can't hear anything other than what the headphones. And so they're just saying words
that they're hearing.
And the other person is asking questions, but they can't hear the questions.
Exactly.
They're just responding with words they're hearing. And it's interesting because some of those make a lot of sense. You think it might just be spewing out random words, but it ends up a lot of times they're actually answering the question that they didn't even hear.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's where like you said, a lot, some stuff we get that's like not even related to what was asked or just ignored. But a lot of times we're getting answers, whether we use the portal app, like the headphones are plugged into the phone where only that person with the headphones can hear what's being said from the portal or the spirit box, either one. But we did it with the portal, like down in the office. This was our first investigation before the time I went back after that when Stacy's sister's name came through. But that night, Roth and Jake were in that office and Jake was sitting in a chair in the corner of the room. And Stacy, the homeowner, and I were in the family room right down the hall and around the corner. And all of a sudden we hear Jake go, oh my God, what the heck was that? And Roth's like fumbling, like, oh my God, what's going on? And he's trying to get his flashlight on. And Stacy and I look at each other and we could just go down there right as Roth is getting his flashlight on from across the room. And I guess there was a big high metal shelf back behind Jake in the chair that a cowboy hat, whatever spirit had knocked that cowboy hat off a pretty good far away that landed on Jake's lap and then went onto the floor.
Oh.
And in the dark.
And once again, gravity. It should drop straight down.
Yeah.
Gravity makes things go straight down. That was like thrown off.
Yeah, thrown off into his lap and onto the floor. And so we're all just kind of standing there like, oh my goodness. But then when we start doing the Estes method or the Frank's box, Jake's sitting back in that chair and he's the only one that can hear what's going on. Jason's asking questions. And one of the questions he'd asked was, are you a male? Yes, was the answer. And Jason asked, how old are you? 42. You can get like really good answer. I mean, sometimes you're not sure if what you're hearing is always the correct answer. But I mean, that was pretty spot
specific. Because he could have said ocean, but he said 42.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he's not, he doesn't even know what the question is. So he could have said any random word like,
yeah,
Rolling Stones. And so it wouldn't even make any sense.
Yeah.
But when you ask, how old are you? And then there's a number that comes out.
Yeah. And we're all
kind of fascinating.
And that's when the spirit told us that he was watching us. And that's when Jason asked, are you the one that we saw outside? And he said, yes.
Ooh.
And Jason asked, it's with Stacy's husband being in the military, and like, we kind of felt like maybe some of the things that he brought home, artifacts or whatever he may have gotten in other places, might have had attachments or...
Oh.
Some spirits are nomads or they're travelers, so they may go one place, stay there a while, decide to go somewhere else. They travel around. So we were told by this guy that he was in the army and that he had drowned and that he's a traveler, so he goes place to place. We don't know if he was maybe attached to the land, the house, or something that was brought in at some point, or maybe he just felt like home there, so he made it, felt like staying there until he was ready to move along.
Wow.
But then all of a sudden, he was like, okay, I'm done, bye. And the master bedroom was right across from us, like up in the corner of this ceiling, we heard this really loud bang. It was just like a weird... down, he was like, okay, bye, bang, and we could hear it from the floor above us.
Like the big old exclamation point.
Yeah, and we're just kind of all like, and of course, Jake couldn't hear it with the headphones on, and Jason tapped him, and Jason's like, did you just hear that? And Jake's like, no, what? And then we're all kind of talking about it, and then Jake puts the headphones back on. Jason starts asking questions, and the little boy comes through that they were seeing half of. And I don't remember us. It's been 4 years ago now. I think this week will be four years ago. I don't think we got a name, but he told us he was 8. And Lena, the psychic, had told Stacy that the boy was 7 or 8.
Wow.
And the boy himself told us he was 8.
See, that is creepy to me.
Yeah.
Like when the man came through, like after you saw him, I'd have been like, I got to go in the car. And do you mind if I just drive myself home?
Yes.
But you didn't. You went on in and then you even got more information. And that would have been really a creepy conversation to be hearing.
Yeah.
Between the two of them. So if somebody came to you and they said, I'm interested in the paranormal, I'd kind of like to do paranormal investigations, what kind of advice would you give them? Because I think it would be more than just what equipment you take with you when you go to an investigation. I think you kind of have to protect yourself and be aware of more. There's more out there. And I think, you know, I think one's energy and vulnerability and your emotions can kind of attract things sometimes.
Yeah.
What do you think about that if someone came to you and asked you?
Being on both sides of it, I would advise them to, like, find a team. I know, like, here in Wichita, Kansas, Road Trip Paranormal, we do a lot of different investigations. like if you're in Kansas or even traveling here sometime, reach out to Road Trip Paranormal on Facebook.
Or questions. Even if they're not traveling through, if you're like halfway across the country and you've got some questions, reach out.
Reach out to us. Like there's several of us on the team that monitor the Facebook page and Facebook Messenger that you could message us and we will answer questions. I know that there's two of us that did we had a gentleman reach out wanting to do his 16th birthday investigation for his daughter that was into paranormal, and they have never investigated. And so it was like his daughter, four of her friends, the dad, and one of his friends. And so like Stacy and I told them from the get-go, like if you get scared, like don't be afraid to ask questions, whether you're scared or not. Like introduce them to the equipment, show them how to use them. We took them into Salon 535, one of our favorite places here to investigate. Let them use equipment. We let them do the Estes method. Like Stacy and I started out with I think she had the headphones on and I was asking questions, and we let the kids do it. And I'm like, okay, if you get scared, take off the headphones and we will. And like at one point, one of them just heard some screaming, it was something like you would hear. She described it out of a horror movie type of scream.
Have you ever picked up on that kind of energy in that building?
I have not in that building. So I don't know.
Because now maybe, I don't know if I want to go there with you, Andy.
I think that might have been what came through the Spirit Box 7 that goes through all the radio frequencies. So maybe it was just something from as it was sweeping through the different radio stations.
Yeah.
I'm not discrediting it, but yet I think it, because in all the time I've done that, I've not heard that, and nobody from our team has. But
perceptually, if you just thought you heard that, that would be pretty terrifying.
That would be. And so I just like, I went right to her, and I even told the dad and his friend, I'm like, okay, if one of them are feeling off or feeling too scared and you need to take them outside. Like even after tonight, if somebody starts struggling or feeling like maybe something follow them or attach them, like I myself, when I started doing this, the team taught us before you leave from investigating or somewhere you might feel like there be a presence, be like, okay, I am leaving. You could tell the spirits, I am leaving. You need to stay here. You're not allowed to follow me. You're not allowed to come with me. There's times that it might be one of your family members and you might want them to stay. Unless you're my mom, dad, grandma, whatever, you're welcome. But anybody else, you're not welcome to come with me.
Yeah.
And so that's why I like do these private investigation stuff. Or even public ones. I always tell the group that I'm with that don't be afraid to say this at any time, like especially before you leave at night, because you're taking a risk doing this.
Right.
And I wouldn't go to the salon if I felt like it was something heavy. I've never had that. I kept kind of reiterating that all night to the kids, the dad, that, okay, we'll just say this at the end of the night. You all can say it. And I told him, if the kids have issues, don't be afraid to call us. We will come to you. If something's going on, we'll help you get it figured out and get it done type of thing.
Because I think that's just good advice. Me sitting here talking about paranormal stuff all day with talking about it so much that I really do need to shut it off. And I really do have to watch the Golden Girls and stuff because I think it's important.
I felt like that.
And I loved them, so.
Yes, they're awesome. I felt like that because the spirit that I know that is in my dad's house that I saw younger that kind of got me into paranormal, I know from our psychic that it's a man. He's either tied to the house or the property. And she told me he does watch over you guys. And so that helped me. I still talk to him. I don't know his name.
Yeah.
But I get that peace. And you're not crazy, Ivy.
Thank you. I am kind of crazy sometimes.
I go places and I feel like there might be something, but I'll say, hi, my name's Andy. Like, if the team's around me, but I won't say it out loud. I'll say it in my head because, like, we can communicate that way with spirit sometimes if you've got more of a gift, I guess. And you can communicate that way with them without saying stuff out loud sometimes and making everybody look at you like you're talking to yourself. But
like, and I do think, like I think, even if it's just in your head, like if you're someplace where you're a little unnerved, picking up on something weird, if you don't feel comfortable saying it out loud, I think, okay, if they're spirits, don't they kind of know what you're thinking anyway?
Yeah.
So just think it. Like, yeah, protect yourself.
I've done this long enough that, like, most of the time I can get a response. Like, I could hear it. It's almost like they're saying it in my ear type of thing.
Oh.
Not all the time, but...
Please tell me how wonderful my house is, because I need to hear that.
I have not picked up on anything here, to be honest.
It's loving. It's extremely loving in my house. Well, I'm really glad we did this. We've been talking about doing this for a year.
Yes.
And we finally did it. So, Andy, thank you so much. And if anyone wants to get some information, I'm just on Facebook, just search for Road Trip Paranormal.
Yeah, Road Trip Paranormal.
And you can message them.
Them. And my name's Andy Rowe, R-O-E, the last name. You could reach out to me too.
A-N-D-I.
Yeah, A-N-D-I Rowe.
So thank you so much. I love you, my friend. Thank you for doing this.
Thank you.
That wraps up our conversation with paranormal investigator Andy Rowe. To learn more about Road Trip Paranormal, the team she's on, visit rtpkansas.com. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, you'll get everything commercial free, then become a Gravekeeper. You could sign up on Apple Podcasts, where you can try it for 3 days free, see if you like it, or go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you for listening.